Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a great day this morning. I want to ask, is there anybody here that doesn't believe everything you read in the Bible? If you don't believe everything you read, raise your hand. Thank you. I was hoping I didn't get that. So, if you believe everything you read in the Bible, then when it tells you something which seems kind of simple, like this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it, right? Amen. So, when you hear that, does that tell you that there is something special for each one of you? As you awaken every morning, you open your eyes and you take your first breath of the day, there is something special that God has for you this day. Okay? So if you believe that, then how will you know unless you hang out with Him? Pastor Henry's been talking about the importance of one-on-one time with God. The time that we spend with Him being so valuable to hear and to know what He has for this day that He made specifically for you. And so be encouraged to hang out with Him. Just talk to Him like you would be talking to your friend or your spouse. Just talk to God. Find out, what does He have for you today? Every one of us here has something specific, something special that's just for you. And if you bring it to this place, if you come with something that God has given you, you come with that blessing, that anointing that God's given you that morning when you first awake Him and you ask Him into your day, you thank Him for the day that He's already planned out for you. And you walk in that plan that He has. Sunday's just one day that you can share with everybody here. So, whatever you hear as individuals can be as important to us as a corporate group. And so, just to add to that, that we encourage the use of this microphone, and we use it, and we put it right here. And if God's given you a word, if God's given you a testimony, something that would encourage your brothers and sisters, we would like you to tell us about it. We've made a platform here that everyone can share their hearts. So during the worship time, during the time of between the musics, you'll see there'll be some little gaps there. Just bring that word. Bring something that God gave you. Because this is a day that He made specifically for you. Okay? So if you would please stand with me so we can pray. Amen. Father God, we know, Lord, that You see us as individuals, Lord. You see us as that special child, Lord. Each one of us feel like we're Your favorite. And Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You see us with such love, even though sometimes we may not see ourselves in that place, Lord, that we feel that we should be. There's never enough that we could return to You, Lord, for what You've done for us, Lord. So this day, Lord, I ask that You would just bless each one of us, Lord, as we come, but that we could bless You, Lord, with our worship. We could bless You with our loving each other, Lord. Just even the handshake or the hugs that we give to each other, Lord. That's You shining through us, Lord. Thanks. We want to let You shine through us. Lord, help us to be that perfect creation, Lord, that You did for each one of us, Lord. Yes. We are that perfect creation in You, Lord. Help us to be that to each other, to ourselves. We praise You, we thank You, and we say this in the name of Jesus. Please be seated.
Amen.
Woo! No worship yet. We're going to go off into worship as soon as Dr. John comes up here. This gentleman is from the Gideons. I think you guys have all, you all know who the Gideons are. They do wonderful work, and they're here in Green Valley. They're in Sarita. So we have allotted a time for Dr. John here to give us a little bit of information as to what's going on. So Dr. John, give him a hand of
He was born on the other side of the world, and before he was 5 years old, he was separated from his mother. By age 10, he was in the army. It's a war-torn, disturbed country. At age 11, he knew, like many had, he was going to die. He knew he was going to die, but someone told him he could have eternal life if he went and heard the European missionaries. And he made his way to a meeting and found out about Jesus, and he got saved. And he even took a Christian name so the missionaries could pronounce it. And then continued a life in the army, very hard life. Didn't have any relatives, but at age 20 decided he had enough of the army and some of his fellow soldiers, and he walked away, which would have been firing squad punishment. It would have been. Somehow he made it to the United States and even to Arizona. And after many years, he had finally found his mother and a sister. And as he was making arrangements for a reunion after all those years, he got devastating news that his mother had passed away. And that was even almost all he could take, and he thought he was going to end it all. But his method didn't work. And he ended up in the hospital. And when he was discharged from the hospital, he had to make a follow-up appointment with a physician he didn't know. It turns out that physician was a Gideon. And after getting a little information, it was clear that there was a deep heartache. And fortunately, that physician happened to have on his phone the Gideon app. Now, you may not know about the Gideon app, but there's like 1,800 languages, and many of them are audio. So you can dial it up pretty quickly once you get the hang of it. And his doctor played for him John 1:1. And the look on his face went so far away, and the peace came over him. And his doctor played it for him for a while. And then he said, "I got to have that. I got to have that." And so this is one of the ways that Gideons put the gospel into the highways of life. Gideons distribute New Testaments. How many of you have ever seen one of these little New Testaments? This is what the student one looks like. Yeah. And this is what the medical one looks like. So they're just, this inside's the same. The cover's a little different. This one attracts students. And this one has a medical theme on the cover photo, but Gideon's placed these Bibles in hotels. That's where it originally started. Traveling salesmen decided that they need that Bible when they're away from home, and they couldn't always remember to bring it with them, but they decided two or three Christian guys got together, and I think it was 1899, and started the Gideons. And doctor's offices, motels, hotels, hospitals, dentist's office, doctor's offices, as I said, schools, students, nursing homes, jails, prisons, and even give these testaments to first responders. The Gideons set up booths at county fairs, festivals, and you might see them there, and even distribute at Vacation Bible School. Do you guys have Vacation Bible School here?
We have, I guess, what do you call it?
How many ever went to Vacation Bible School when you were, yeah, remember? Yeah. Nice to have a little Bible, and that's something we do. This local camp has worked all the way from Sarita down to Nogales. That's our territory. We've been to all the hotels. The hotels and hospitals have this kind of Bible. That one looked a little familiar. If you ever stayed in a hotel or been to a hospital, you can usually find them in the hotel. If they don't have it in the room, you can ask for one from the front desk most of the time, not always. And we're working on that. Presently, the Gideons are in 200 countries, possessions, and territories. We print the Bible in 100 different languages. The cumulative total distribution worldwide recently surpassed 2.5 billion. Unfortunately, there's like 8 billion people in the world, so there's still work to be done. These little testaments can be produced for like $1.40 each, and the Bible's for $5. So in a little bit, in your handout, you have an opportunity to donate. If you feel like God is leading you to donate to the Gideons to spread his word, then look in your handout, and at the end of this service, afterwards, I'll be standing there with an open Bible. You can donate checks or cash if you feel like led by the Lord, and Larry will be at the other door with the same setup. One nice thing about these, just in the past week, I had a patient in front of me that was going through a really difficult time. And you know, what does God hate? Divorce. And so it's so bad in many ways. Anyway, when I was getting done, I showed him the little orange one. I said, "Do you think that would be helpful? Do you need it? Do you have one?" And he said, "Oh yeah." He read it and he said, "Oh, I'm a believer." I said, "Here, let me show you in the front." And in the front of these testaments, very helpful, I showed it to him. I said, "There's helps, and it tell you what page and what verse for things like anger, anxiety, bitterness, cheating, death, depression, dishonesty, doubt, drunkenness." Anybody had any problem with any of those? You never know what verse to look for? Yes, and I told him, this was value to me. One of my best friends, a Christian doctor, got a brain tumor at 59, and he knew he was dying, and I looked up death, and I went over to visit with him, and I got to read those three verses, and very meaningful. When things are tough, it helps to have that little guide. So as soon as I showed him the guide, it came out of my hand. So many times I'll say, "Do you have one of these?" And they'll say, one guy said, "Yeah, but I need two." All right. And then I gave another one to this female couple. You guessed the rest of it, but still having bad dreams, three medications for mental health, still having bad dreams. And she said, "It's got so bad, doctor, that I even went to church."
Hallelujah.
That was my clue. The Lord, the Holy Spirit will tell you. And then I said, "What day was that?" And she said, "Saturday." So then I knew she was Catholic, right? And I said, "Was God there?" And she said, "God was there." So I gave her one of these, and then her partner came in. No, she came back in a month. And I said, "How's that little book?" among other things. And she said, "My partner took it, and now she's reading it." So God's word spreads. Now, I had a little list of things I was going to go over, so let me see if I make sure I'm not missing anything here. But we do want you to think about, maybe you would like to be a member. Maybe you would like to be a Gideon. We need men, and their wives are part of the auxiliary. Wives and widows are part of the auxiliary. So it starts with men. Men who the pastor has to recommend you. You can't get in the Gideons without your pastor, which means you have to be a member of a local church. And there's a few other criteria, and Larry has applications if any of you want to be members. And then basically, I gave you there's the eight criteria, but those are the main ones. So it's good. It's already a blessing to be here. Everyone's so nice and friendly. And I just want to read one more passage that many of you are familiar with. You probably learned this in VBS. But this is what the Bible says about God's word. And this is what God says. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Every Christian should be doing their part for spreading the word of God. So follow that pamphlet and let us know if we can be of any further value. Thank you, Pastor Henry.
Don't leave. I'm going to have you read a little bit more.
I took one of these to work. I carried it around all the time. And
how many already have one of these little Bibles somewhere? 1, 2, 3. I see that hand. 4, 5. Mm-hmm. Some over here. Do you get a sore neck in this place from looking from side to side?
Yeah. I try not to look out there. Yeah. This, I'd like you to read this. This, it seems like it's shortened down a little bit, but this, mine was like 3 pages. But I like, what I want to do, well, just to let you know, this little Bible has this little thing about, I had a guy I was talking to at work, and he would never allow me to talk to him about Jesus. He just, I don't know about that, you know, whatever. But I found him. I had left my little pocket partner on my desk. And when I came in, he was reading it. And he goes, I cannot believe what I'm reading here. So can you see to read?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I want you to hear this.
The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its history is true. And its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. And practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is the grand subject and the good and design. For our good, the design and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mind of wealth. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened at the judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. Thank you, Pastor. I hadn't read that.
Oh, let's give him a hand. Well, and the Gideons. Appreciate your ministry. Praise God.
This is a praise song that I get songs in the night. And, you know, it says that in the Bible, you know, he gives us songs in the night. So he really does sometimes. So this is what he gave me one night. I'll sing praise to the Lord. Yes, I trust him. I'll sing praise every day of my life. I'll sing praise for his wonderful power. He protects me with all of his might. He heals us of all our diseases. He restores the blind with sight. He endured all our sin as he hung on that cross. He's my life, and I'll sing of his praise. I'll sing praise to the Lord. Yes, I trust him. I'll sing praise through the darkest of night. When chaos abounds, I'm on solid ground. Yes, he holds my life in his hands. I'll sing praise to the Lord, my provider, when everything crumbles around. For my hope is in Jesus. He helps me to cope. His promises all are sound. I'll sing praise to the Lord when I'm dying, at the end of my earthly years. I'll trust him then. His promise is true, for he loves me. He's my best friend. There's more to this story. He's the King of glory. I'll sing praise because life doesn't end.
That was so beautifully said. We are to praise our Lord. We are to praise him because he is the King of kings. He is the great I am, El Shaddai, Almighty God, all things are possible. So I'm going to testify because we've been singing about testimony. We've been singing about praising him. And I am going to praise him jointly with you because my Gianna, my granddaughter, who was diagnosed with SIBO, she had a whole year of pain in her stomach. She lost her weight, 5 years of age, down to 30 pounds. Her life was threatened, but God prevailed and healed her. And so she got another bout again just about a month ago. now, and I have a praise report because of your prayers, because of corporate prayer. She had one whole week without pain. She's been going to school. She didn't have to go to the nurse for one whole week because she's been given a medication, which is an antifungal medication. And that was God's answer to prayer because the doctors didn't know what to give her. But this doctor did know on Monday because of God, because of prayer, because of faith in Him. This doctor knew what to give her. And so, yes, she's had a week of no pain. And she's able to eat again without pain. And I praise God for it. And I thank the prayer warriors behind me that have been praying for her. Thank you all. Thank you all. Praise God. Praise God.
So I was reading in Timothy, and I just want to share this with everyone. And it was just a reminder that God is patient with us. But that also that... you know, we should be patient with people. Because, you know, this is from Paul writing this, but Paul also wrote, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that's our ultimate example of how we should live our lives as Christ. And it says this here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen.
So I was sitting out in my open biosphere photosynthesis performance art botanical garden, and it's an experiment, and this was like last week, a couple weeks ago, and God, Holy Spirit, or my own imagination, I don't know.
Come on, Brian. Michael.
Jesus is not in this church.
Come on.
Jesus is not in this church.
He's in your heart.
Jesus is in each one of us.
That's right. Come on, man.
I'm not saying that angels do not protect this church when it's vacant. But I'm saying Jesus is in you and you and you and you and you and me.
Amen.
And the pastors.
Come on, hallelujah.
And that I felt is solid.
Come on, man. Praise God.
Amen.
Good man. Thank you.
I wasn't going to share this, but after what Abe said, I was like, okay, this fits. But this week, Abe and I watched the movie Mission Impossible.
All right.
So when I was watching it, two things stuck out to me during that movie. The first one is there's two women in this movie, and so spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie, but one of them dies. And so the other woman is, of course, upset. And she's talking to this man, and she said, she's dead because of me. And he said, no, you're alive because of her. And isn't that just like Jesus?
Yeah,
right?
Come on.
He's not, he died for us. So we're alive because of him.
Amen. Come on, preach it.
Yes. And the other part was the guy's talking to this same woman, and he's trying to get her to be on his team. And he told her, I promise you that your life will always be more important to me than my own. And isn't that just like Jesus also?
Yeah, come on.
So he's already given his life for us, and he promises that your life is more important than his own because he's already given it for you. So I wanted to share that because if you're here today and you haven't given your life to the Lord, it's just a reminder, he's done his part. He's already given his life for you, and it's not an accident that you're here today. His goodness is running after you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your age. He's waiting for you.
Good morning. I just wanted to share, this was last week. Rebecca talked about this, about just sort of the goodness about God following us. And a dear friend of mine and I, we talk nearly every single day. I met her, I grew up in Alaska, and I met her at one of the first places I worked when I was young. And we've carried that friendship all these years. And we, in the mornings, have this thing where we exchange she reads from, it's not the Bible, but it's very lovely messages that are very inspiring and stuff. So I will read to her back the verse of the day, which comes up on my phone. And this one morning I read to her the verse of the day, and it was on February 2nd. And it says, from Matthew 18:12, it says, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off?" And she asked me, she said, "That doesn't make any sense. Why would he has 99, why would he leave 99 to go for one?" And we talked about this. We sing about this like all the time, right? He does go after us. I'm so grateful that he goes after us, the one, to leave the 99. So she and I talked about it, and she said, "Send me that verse. I don't understand it. I don't understand what you're reading to me. It doesn't make any sense." And so I sent it to her, but I just thought I wanted to share that with you.
In the Word, it says that as he is, so are you. But I need you guys to think, as he is, so am I. You are exactly who he is inside, spiritually. In the natural, you're not.
I'm sorry.
But we don't see things in the natural. He says to see things in the spiritual realm. So as he is, so are you. And I want everybody to think about it and start saying, as he is, so am I. Make it personal. Make it be where you know that it is part of who you are. He lives inside you. He says he will never leave you or forsake you. He says in his word that the glory he has, he asked the Father to bring it to us. So he has, you carry a fragrance of who the Heavenly Father is. You carry a fragrance just like Esther did as she was walking. They would smell the fragrance that she would have as she walk. You carry that whenever you spend time with him. You carry that. So don't think that when you pray for something and you think, well, it didn't work, it didn't happen. But you don't know. Faith is believing in what you don't see. You're being touched within. So you don't know what God is doing. But you have to know that he is doing something. And he will not stop doing something until he brings you to complete healing. Mind, body, or spirit. So praise God. Because as you are, so is he.
Abe said, you know, something to the effect that, you know, I don't feel worthy of God's goodness. And then it was talked about the goodness of God. And God's goodness is unique in that it's not something we can maintain. It's not something we can come to a place where we are now worthy to receive. He's just good. That's just who he is. I was reading over the past few weeks in Genesis about Noah and how he, as he comes through the flood and his boys become part of a promise. And God speaks to Noah and says, "Hey, through you and your boys, I want you to repopulate the earth. I want every man and woman that is going to now be part of this earth is going to come through you." And he begins to establish a covenant with Noah. And then right after that, one of Noah's sons sins against Noah. And his name is Ham. And Noah, not God, but Noah curses him. And he says, you're going to have to work, and you're going to be cursed, and you're going to be cut off, and your children are also going to be cursed and all this. So he's mad, and he, right after he was blessed, he curses one of his sons that's going to be where we probably came from, right? Fast forward to Abram and Sarai. And God speaks to Abram and says, I want you to go. I'm going to go to a land. I'm going to show you. And then there's a course of time that God begins to speak to him and give promises to him. And then there comes a moment after Abraham tries to fulfill the promise through his own might. And God says, no, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to do it through you and Sarah. I'm changing her name. And I'm going to change your name. And the land that you see, all this land that you see, it's going to be yours. And if you look up in the sky, there's going to be all these stars. You can't count them, but that's going to be your generation. That's going to be all of yours. It's going to come through you and Sarah. And the sand and the seashore, you can't even count it, but that's the descendants that are going to come through you. And then he changes his name. So I'm going to call you, and you're no longer Abram, you're Abraham. And you're going to go into a land called Canaan, and that's going to be the land of the promise. Ham was cursed by his father, Noah. And God comes and restores. And he says, I'm going to break even that curse. And Canaan is the son of Ham. And he says, that's the promise land. And he breaks another curse. And he says, you're going to be and bring descendants from a line that was cursed. And you're going to come into a land from a son that was cursed. And I'm going to be the redemptive one through you to bring redemption and to bring salvation and to bring all these things that was cut off through anger, through not knowing. All of a sudden, that's who our God is. And Jesus, fast forward even more, he becomes the new Adam. The Adam that should have been Adam, Jesus becomes the picture of, hey, this is how it should have been. Let me restore it. And now through you, you're going to reclaim it as sons and daughters. So from Genesis all the way through Revelation, it's the story of Jesus. It's the story of redemption. It's the story of us in a place that may have come through a curse by someone's word, but not the Lord's word. The Lord's word is redemption, and the Lord's word is strength, and the Lord's word is salvation, and it's love, because that's who he is. And that outside those doors, in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our groups of friends, in places that he has called us to, we are Jesus in those places. We are restorers in those places. And though we may not feel worthy, we can know that our God is good. Yes. We can know that our God is love. We can know that even in our mistakes and even in our shortcomings, he is still good. Amen. And he is calling us to something greater than what we have learned. We have learned things that may have been incomplete. They may have been wrong. It doesn't matter. Henry talks about this a lot. You can listen to his message, but you need to be listening a little bit closer to what the Spirit is saying through him. Or in this moment, maybe he doesn't even say it, but the Spirit will speak to you, because it's the Spirit that leads. And maturity comes not by doing everything right and doing everything good, although that is an overflow. But maturity is, and this is in the Word, those that are led by by the Spirit. So all these things that we hear from this pulpit, you may not understand that message. But if you understand that God is good and that His Spirit is teaching always, that you can be and you are sons and daughters of the King, that you are made in the image of our God in Christ. That's who you are. You're not going to try to get there someday. That's where you are. And what He does is He unfolds a message to show you how to operate in who you are. You're kings and queens and priests. And you may not know what that means, but He's calling you to say, hey, let me show you something. Let me show you how to unwrap this thing that I've given that has been on the shelf for a long time or hidden under the tree. Let me show you how to unwrap it. Let me show you how to open up this box. Let me show you how to get into it and put it together. Let me show you how it runs and operates. And let me show you what it means and what you look like to the world out there, because there is a light that shines inside of you. And that light has a frequency. And that frequency makes a sound, and it makes a light that no one has seen before. And that light, kind of as you were mentioning to your friend, it awakens something in other people because it catches a frequency in them. And when that frequency awakens in them, they begin to hear a sound. A sound that's not just from you or your understanding, but a sound from another place. That place that is, as Jesus and John the Baptist says, it's at hand. That other place is not somewhere far off in the future. In the future, up far in the cosmos that we can't see it with some real powerful telescope, but it's right here. He says, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand. So put out your hand and grab it. Take a hold of it and say, yes, show me, Lord. Show me in my weaknesses, show me. In my victories, show me. In my promotions, in my losses, in everything that happens, Lord, show me. Show me what's happening. Reveal to me what I can't understand or read or learn or be educated about, but show me, Lord. Because there's only one that can. The Holy Spirit that He's given to us, that He says, hey, I'm going to give you something better than me staying. I'm going to give you a part of me that is everywhere all the time. And He will teach you. And He'll be a comforter to you. And He'll reveal things to you. When you think things, when you think you're far away, when you think nobody cares, when you think you just don't know what to think, know this. That God is good, that He cares for you, that He loves you, that He's there and will always be there for you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. No matter what, no height, no depth, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Pour out your praise to Him. Let's just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you're doing, God. Lord, we worship you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are a great God. There's none like you. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would touch every heart in this building today. Not only in this room, but also in the children's room, Lord. Also in the nursery. Touch those little bitty hearts, Lord. Lord, let them sense your Spirit, God. God, and how great you are, Father. God, we thank you this morning. We worship you. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many know God is good? Hey, I don't know. You know what? You have to be pretty fast if you think you can outrun God. You're going to have to be pretty fast, and I don't think you can. You'll never outrun Him. He's running. Isn't that what we sang this morning? He's running after you. He's coming for you. He says, now, hey, don't you know that I love you? Can you say amen? The Word of God tells us that His banner or His flag over us is love. Love. Loves you so much that He sent His Son and He died for you. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. He's taking you to places. Do you know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says this. I'm going to put it up here on the screen. It says this, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. How many of you love God this morning? How many of you, do you love him? Hallelujah. Well, he's got great things prepared for you. Do you say amen to that? Woo, hallelujah. He's got great things prepared for you. I'm going to just let that sit in it. Yeah, he's running after you. You can run, but you can't hide. Can you say amen? Oh, you can run, but you can't hide. You know, you might think you're hiding right now. Well, there's a bunch of people there, but God sees you where you're at. Can you say amen to that? He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows you better than you know yourself. Can you say amen? And he is looking. The word of God says that his eyes go to and fro across the earth, looking for those whose hearts are perfect towards him. All he wants you to do is believe him. Can you say amen? Believe that he sent his son to die for you personally. Can you say amen? Yeah. That's a beautiful message right there. Can you say? We should just go on home, huh? No, but you know, but God has given me a word for all of you. And like Tommy said this morning, he goes, hey, man, sometimes I say some things that you may be, I mean, you're going, that guy's weird. How many, raise your hand, say, Pastor Henry's weird. Come on, man. Hey, come on, man. Yeah, you can, that's it, man. Look at all that. Yeah, especially these folks over here. They say, yeah, boy, he's weird. I'll raise both hands to that. Because we are peculiar people. How many say that? How many know that you're weird? I mean, look at your neighbor and say, boy, you're weird. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, look, I'm telling this. There's none like you, man. You weird. Y'all weird. Can you say amen to that? And isn't it funny that God loves you. Yeah, you. Even you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Say to yourself, God loves me. Stella said something that's very important to the body of Christ today, in this world today. The Word of God says it, says, as he is, so am I in this world. Because he dwells in you. Folks, if there's anything I know, it's time to get to know him better about who he is in you, so that you understand how to be who he wants to be in those around you. Can you say amen to that? Because every one of us are members one of another. If you believe in Christ, if you have accepted Christ in your heart, guess what? You're part of the body of Christ. Can you say amen to that? We are members one of another. And that's why we put this microphone up here, because the Holy Spirit said one day, I want the body to minister to the body. Pastor and I looked at each other and said, are you crazy, God? God, do you know what can happen with something like that? Isn't that right? Because you all are weird. Hey, come on, man. Hallelujah. I love it. You know, the Word of God says that he has given us life and life more abundant. Can you say amen to that? It's not this drug down kind of routine God thing. It is a God of life. He's a God that is in your midst even right now. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And he wants to say something to you this morning. Will you accept the Word of God, hallelujah, this morning?
Yes.
Just let the Word come in. Hey, pick through it. I'll do what you want. You say, well, I'll take that. I won't take that. I'll take that. I won't take that. How many do that?
Sure.
You go to a smorgasbord and you say, well, I don't want that, but I'll have some of that. I'll have some of that. It's okay to do that. Can you say amen to that? But it's also good to say, you know what? Maybe I'll try some of that. Maybe I'll take a little bit of that. Because sometimes the Word of God to us, when we hear it, it sounds strange. It sounds, well, that don't fit the way I was raised. But how many of you know that God is new every day?
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
His mercies are new every day. How many say amen to that? Aren't you glad that they're not still building 55 Chevys? If everybody was driving a 55 Chevy today, it would be no big deal for me to have a 55 Chevy. Because everybody's driving them. But how many of you like new cars? How many like when they come out, man, ooh, that's got some nice stuff. I'm looking at a Polestar. I'd like to get a Polestar. I don't even know what it does. But I'm looking at a Polestar. And they're new. I mean, but see, God has new things. A lot of times we don't realize. We keep them in a box. Can you say amen? Where God is trying to release the things that he has for us for the body of Christ in the earth today. You might think that the earth is decaying, falling apart, but the Word of God doesn't say that. The Word of God says that there is a kingdom about to be unveiled on the earth. And this kingdom, people are going to be, oh my, I never realized what those people were talking about. I never realized that it's all been true all these years. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God's bringing, he's unveiling a kingdom in the earth. Are you going to let him unveil that kingdom through you? I say, Lord, let it happen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'll tell you, our city will be touched. Our nation will be touched. This world will be touched by the unveiling of the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that? The Bible says that this whole creation is waiting for the manifestation or the unveiling of the sons of God. Isn't that crazy? Waiting on us. Waiting on us. Just waiting on us. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's an unveiling getting ready to happen. Can you say amen to it? Thank you, worship team. We love you guys. Yeah. And I got some backup music today. Thank you, Linda. I appreciate you. Glory to God. Eyes not seen, neither has it entered into your heart or into your wildest imaginations what God has for you. Can you say amen to that? He's got more things for you than you can even think about. So, as a matter of fact, you never even entered your heart. So you can't even think about what he has for you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He designed you for a purpose. He designed you to touch the world. Can you say amen? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, he wants to touch the world. And he's going to touch it through the body of Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to pray real quick. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask you, Father God, that whatever part of your word fits into the heart of your sons and your daughters, Lord, let that word flow in today and let it take great. Let it be founded like in good earth, Father, like seed that would grow. And not only grow well, but produce fruit, Father. But thank you for that, and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say to you. Verily, verily means truthfully, truthfully, truth upon truth. I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, Oh man, that's a tough one. Lord, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. Look at your neighbor and say, you must be born again. Gotta be, say it, gotta be born again. You gotta be born again. You must be born again. The wind blows where it lists,
and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell, tent, whence it comes and whether it goes. So is, look at this, everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? I love Nicodemus. How many say amen? Jesus later on goes on in the same chapter and he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, Jesus not only told him you got to be born again, but he did tell him how to be born again. The title of this sermon today the word of resurrection, the wind of resurrection of life, the wind. I want you to just go back to verse, I think it was 8. Is that what it was? Yeah, verse 8. The wind blows where it lists, goes wherever it wants. How many say amen? The wind blows where it lists. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it comes and where it's going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. This is a statement that Jesus made to Nicodemus, telling him and explaining to him a little bit about the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit knows what the Father, he is. You can't separate Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, except for they're just three in one. Can you say amen to that? You can't separate them. They are together. They're in union with each other. Everything one thinks is the same thing the other one thinks. How many say amen? So in this, Jesus is telling him, this is how the Holy Spirit will do things. He's going to move around. You might think he's coming, but he might not show up. Except for when that time when you're not hoping he'll show up, and he'll show up. Can you say amen to that? Just when I told you about Big O. And I got mad at the guy, and I was yelling. I was talking loudly. And you all know me, I don't talk very loud. And my wife says I'm very soft-spoken. Hey, thanks, babe. Yeah. But he got me excited and got me a little upset, and I let the whole, all the people that were in the counter area know that I was getting ripped off. Yeah. Just when I got to the door to walk out, the Holy Spirit said something to me. Said, nice job, Henry. Oh, I said, oh, God. Oh, man. So just when I didn't want him to show up, now he shows up. So, God, why couldn't you show up and just give me a little favor in his eyes? No, he didn't. He had to. But see, I learned something about myself. Can you say amen to that? Every time we go through things, folks, hopefully we'll learn something about ourselves, what the Holy Spirit is looking at. Is that okay? Is that all right? Hallelujah. So I'm going to take you to another place. I wanted to take you to Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 48. Pastor, are you going to read all 48 verses? You betcha. Amen? Amen. Come on, man. This is a really beautiful story. You're going to love this story. I love it. And because it does kind of show us some things going on in not only how the Holy Spirit wants to move folks around, but it also shows us some workings of before somebody knows the Lord and how he'll work afterwards. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It's going to show us a little bit that kind of like the Old Testament type of how the Lord moved on people. And then it's going to show us a little bit about how the Holy Ghost moves on people. Is that okay? How many of you want the Holy Spirit to move on you? That's what I want. I was telling the guys yesterday, I said, man, you know what? The Bible says that Paul went to the third heaven, saw things that he couldn't even talk about. I want to see that. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You know, a lot of people want to go to Las Vegas and see that roller coaster on top of that hotel. That doesn't bother me, and I don't care about that. I want to see what Paul saw. I think Paul saw some bigger stuff. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
Stuff he couldn't even talk about. Can you say God saying, hey, okay, Paul, I'm going to show this to you, but don't say nothing to nobody, okay? What? Yeah. Unspeakable things is what he says. I want to see him. How many say amen? I want everything that God has for his people. Can you say amen? I want you to get everything that he has for you.
I desire that all that is within me, that you be filled with all the spiritual knowledge of everything that God has for you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Ooh, come on, man. Ooh, I felt that. That was for somebody. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, that felt good. So let me get to Acts chapter 10. Starting at verse 1, it says, There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devoted man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This guy loved God. Can you say amen?
No.
Hallelujah. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying to him, Cornelius. Everybody say Cornelius.
Cornelius.
Cornelius. Yeah, amen. You guys do it good. He said, when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what you ought to do. And when the angel which spoke to Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, a devout soldier, of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Go find Peter. Here's kind of an Old Testament way how God would come upon people, would send an angel to speak to somebody. Can you see that this morning? Mary was confronted by a messenger about what she was going to do. She was going to have the Son of God. And so here is kind of the Old Testament way, and you see it in Scripture in the New Testament, that God sent an angel to speak to him. There's a reason for that. Can you say amen? Yeah, what's the reason? Oh, well, we'll talk about it in a minute, all right? There's a reason. And on the morrow, and the next day, I guess, they went on their journey and drew near to the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And it came, and he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, oh, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, that call not common. That's a good word right there. Can you say amen to that? I don't care what you think about somebody. God has cleansed, forget it. Is that right?
Amen.
Don't you dare think that you can think of them as common or unclean or all this other stuff. You can't do that because you don't know them like God knows them. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Same with the people out there in the world. You know what they need? They need a messenger to tell them about the love of God. They don't need somebody telling them, you know what, you're going to sin and you're sinning and you're dying, you're going to go to hell. You don't tell them that. Why would you tell them that? What's wrong with the message is, hey, you know what? God has something for you. He loves you, and you don't have to do what you're doing. Is that okay? Is that a better message? Would you receive that message better than the other one? Hey, you're gonna go to hell. You can get out of my face. Is that right? Get out of here, man. Amen. Praise God. That's what I know an amen when I hear it. Come on, man. What God has cleansed, that don't you dare call common. And this was done three times. The vessel was received up again into heaven. Do you know why it was done three times? Because the word of God in the Old Testament said that by two or three witnesses, everything would be established. God was establishing something in Peter. He didn't really get it yet. He was still looking at man, unclean beast. He says, man, I can't eat that stuff, but I'm hungry. He was hungry. It's funny how I think maybe the hunger God used to trigger him to have a vision. Can you say amen to that? God uses things to trigger us so that we might see something that he wants to say to us. Is that okay? I mean, this happens every day. It happens today. God will trigger something within you where he might be able to get his message to you. Some of you, you know, the word of God says that sometimes you're so busy, you talk so much. Sorry. Y'all talk so much. He says, the only time I can visit you is at night and give you a dream.
That's right.
He opens things to you in the night. That's what the word of God says that. Can you say amen? He's trying to get to you. He's trying to talk to you. He's trying to let you know how much he loves you. And then you have a purpose that's bigger than what you even know. Is that okay? Whoa. Come on, man. So this thing was done 3 times. Now, while Peter doubted in himself, isn't that word? You know that Peter, how many know that Peter was a man that was filled with the Spirit of God?
Yep.
Can you see the difference on how God talked to them in the Old Testament and now how he's talking to a man that's filled with the Spirit of God? You know how he talks to him? He talks right directly to you. He speaks to you. This is why I tell you, I love corporate prayer. But what's needed in the body of Christ is not so much corporate prayer. Yeah. It's personal prayer with God, one-on-one. And then allow him to pray through you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. Let him pray what he wants to pray through you and watch what happens. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, you only got two amens, but that's okay. You might, the ear tries the words as the mouth tastes it. I only heard two amens. I heard one little one, quiet one, said, amen. Well, I'm just kidding. My ears aren't that good. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen would mean. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, 3 men seek thee. Do you see the close communication with Peter? Was up there praying by himself. And God showed him a vision. God spoke to him about in some instruction that he should never call a Gentile ever again uncommon or unclean. Spoke to him, showed it to him 3 times, and now very personally saying, hey, guess what, there's 3 guys looking for you, man. Isn't that cool? I love it, man. I don't know about you guys, but I think it's sweet. While Peter thought on this vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, 3 men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that fears God and good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you unto his house and to hear words from you. Some of us today, like, you know, hey, some of us might say, well, I ain't got nothing to say. Well, no, God has something to say. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
God wants to use you to speak to people that have needs. Can you say amen? God wants to use you to touch the hearts of those that maybe don't even know anything about God. He wants to use you. Then he called them in and lodged them. And on the morning, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered in Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. I love Cornelius. How many like Cornelius? He said, come on over to my house, man. What for? I don't know. Just come on over. We called for this guy named Simon Peter. Hopefully he's going to come and talk to us. What about? I don't know. But it's going to be a party.
Can you say amen to that? Ooh, I say it's a party. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said to them, "You know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come into one of another nation." Here God is putting right, has brought Peter right to the door of what he was talking about. Peter knew he wasn't, as a Jew, he wasn't supposed to go into the Gentile's house. But he said, "Man, you know, God spoke to me before I got here." And he said, he's not to come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came to you without gainsaying. And as soon as I was sent for, I asked, therefore, what intent have you sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting till this hour. In the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges in the house of one Simon, a tanner in the seaside, who, when he comes, shall speak to you. Immediately, therefore, I sent for you, and you have done well that you are come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Woo. Now, as a pastor, I like that. I like that word right there. We have come to hear what you got to say. Amen. Yeah, I mean, there's some of you in here that don't care what I got to say. Is that all right? But I like that word. It says, man, we have come to hear what you got to say, what God has told you to say. Amen. Can I tell you that pastors, no matter who they are, all over the planet, if they're hearing from God, they've got something very important for the body of Christ to hear. How many say amen? It's important that you hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Do you know that? All right. I'll get off of that. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. We'll get off of that. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons, but in every nation that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him." It's a good word. "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all." These are these people over in the Italian folks over there. They're listening. "That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God has raised up the third day and showed him openly." Isn't that cool? Amen. Wait a minute. Wait, hold on. These guys, I mean, he's preaching the gospel to them. This might be the first time that they even heard this. He was raised up the third day. Woo. Wait a minute. Pete, hold on, Peter. He was dead? Yeah, he was dead. And 3 days later, he's alive again? Yeah. Woo. Now, that's a story. Can you say amen? I mean, say, "Oh, that's a story." Look at your neighbor and say, "That's a story." That's a good story. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You know, how many of you know that the Bible says the wages of sin is death? How many know that Jesus didn't die? So then why did he die? My sin. Amen. You can say that, man. He died because of me. Died because of all of us. Can you say amen to that? Whew. Him God has raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he that was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets a witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive the remission of sins, the washing of your sins. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Peter's preaching a good message. He's on a roll, man. Come on, man. And he's saying, man, anybody that believes in it, he's going to wash you clean. White as snow, white as snow. No more sin. Can you say amen to that? See, somehow churches today they keep reminding people that you're a sinner. God is trying to remind you that you're not a sinner, that your sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ. You are now a child of the living God. Amen? And when you make a mistake, it's already been paid for, because he knows the end from the beginning. He knows before he created the heavens and the earth what was going to happen all the way through Revelation. He knew it all, and he paid it all. Can you say amen to that? Doesn't give you a license to sin. It should give you a heart of gratitude to say, God, thank you for doing that for me. Because I could never do it on my own. Whew. While Peter yet spoke these words, I love this. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. All those Jews that came with Peter, they were astonished, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is the gift today? What's the gift? It is the Holy Spirit. And he brings all the other gifts with him and through him. Can you say amen to that? I asked the lady one time, do you speak in tongues? She goes, no, that's not my gift. Well, see, you got to know that the gift is the Holy Ghost. And he brings all these other gifts to you. Woo, hallelujah. And these guys were amazed. Dude, they're speaking in tongues. Peter's going, oh, yeah, they are. I love it, man. Well, wait a minute. They got things out of order here. Can I tell you, when God wants to do something, he's going to do it. Can you say amen to that? And when he wants to do something, I'm glad to say, God, do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Just do it. Praise God. Can any man forbid? And when they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, then answered Peter and said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Sometimes the King James gets me messed up, John. It basically says they asked him to stay. Hey, don't leave yet. Was that okay? Hey, Peter, yeah, can you hang out here a while? Yeah, we like having you here, man. Was that okay? Praise God. Peter in Acts chapter 2, I'm just going to show you this scripture. When the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up. Peter was a fighter. But on the day of Pentecost, Peter got up and he preached the sermon to a bunch of folks. And he told them, this is the last thing. Verse 36 in Acts chapter 2, he says this: let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. I mean, that's a message, right? The guy you killed, God has made him the Lord. Oh, what do you think of that? And then those guys said this. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what do we do? What can we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want to bring this out right now, but I'm just telling you, He's instructing us, the Holy Spirit is instructing us in some things that we need to hear. But I will say this, when you gave your heart to the Lord, when you truly and with all your heart gave yourself to Jesus, yes, you became a new creature. And the Spirit of God came to dwell in you. Can you say amen to that? It's not something you got to wait for. Oh, God, I'm praying that the Holy Ghost will come in and fill me up and say, get out of here. That's not the word of God. That's not what it's saying. When you gave your heart to Jesus, you became a new creature. You were filled with the Holy Ghost. And you, maybe you didn't speak in tongues, but it's there. Can you say amen? Maybe you haven't spoken in tongues today. It's there. Because it is this element of your life, of our in this time in our world, it is the kingdom of God within you, and it. I mean, what he wants to do in the world today, it's very important that his people realize that this prayer, that he this ability to pray as God prays through you, is one of the most important aspects of you being a child of God. Can you say amen? Oh man. Six of you. Okay. Anybody awake here? Yeah, raise your hand. No, man, I'm just kidding. Honey, let me just take you to another thing. Because remember, we're talking about this wind that says it will go here and then go there. You can't tell where it's going, but it's going to go. Can you say amen? Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 8, I'm sorry. I'm going to start at verse 26. Verse 26, then the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, arise, go toward the south under the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went. Isn't that nice? I like Philip. I already like Philip. As soon as God sent go, he said, I'm gone. And he left. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. This guy, this Ethiopian eunuch had come to Jerusalem to worship God. Isn't that cool? Amen. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot. He read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near, join yourself to his chariot. And Philip ran there and to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter. Like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from off the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself? Or some other man? Good question. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Come on, man. Come on, man. What hinders me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with what? All your heart. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, oh, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Arizona, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Can I just say, wouldn't you like to have that kind of Uber? Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, go over here, man. Yeah, all right. It's a long way. Shoot you over there. Okay, you're done there. Shoot you back. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Notice that in both places, Philip baptized this eunuch. Is that okay? And Peter commanded, even though they've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, Peter commanded them they be baptized. Is that right? Hey, well, I'm thinking about the 17th of March. I think that's the date, the Sunday. I'm thinking of having a baptism this week. I got somebody that wants to be baptized. I can't wait. Can you say amen to that?
Amen. That's awesome.
So if any of you want to be baptized, maybe even after this sermon, you might think about this a little bit, about what this baptism does for you. Okay. All right. Praise God. There's a reason for the baptism. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Let's look at this. This is the reality of spiritual things. How many say, well, I came in just to hear the word of God? No, there's a reality of the Spirit that God wants you to hear this morning. I want you to look at this. This is Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Do you not know? Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his what?
Death.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Old things have passed away, right?
All things become new.
You see, baptism was an open statement, even though these guys and we didn't understand it. I know when I got baptized, I didn't understand all the things that, but when you go underwater, you're buried. Is that okay? And then hopefully they brought you up within a few minutes and you received a new breath. Is that right? I mean, I don't know how many of you went underneath breathing water, but when you come out, you want to breathe some air. Can you say amen? That is not just a symbol. It is an open declaration that I died with Jesus. That's what it is. You see, we have been called to lay off ourself and walk with Christ. Can you say amen to that? The Bible tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I don't want to be unstable. How many want to be unstable? I mean, Rosie might think I'm unstable sometimes because I'll go, hey, wait, whoa, watch out. We used to have a guy here that used to have a walker, and he, even with his walker, he was a little unstable. And then just kidding around, he'd pick his walker up, huh? He'd pick his walker up, and everybody, hey, Frank, what are you doing, man? Scared everybody, because he was about 6-something, I'm not sure. But see, God wants us stable. You need to understand, listen, folks, listen. For this kingdom to move forward in power, you need to understand that your greatest enemy is yourself. Do you understand that? That Christ died for you so that you might die with him. Is that okay? The Bible says in Galatians, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm still alive. Yet it's not I that live, it's Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the Spirit of Christ that dwells in me. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Listen, it's better than you think. Can you say amen to that? It's more rich than you think, this life in the Spirit. Can you say amen? It is something that God is going to use you to reveal himself to those around you, those that you work with, those that are on your neighbor, they're your neighbors. He's going to use you to see the glory, that they might see the glory of God in the earth. Can you say amen to that? And it just takes a smile. Just takes a kind word. Just takes, hey, man, you know what? Let me help you pick up your trash there, man, whatever. You see, we're dead. Look at your neighbor, look at your, and then one next to you said, man, you're dead. You look dead. Don't say that. Don't say that. Man, you're dead. Folks, we have died. We have been crucified with Christ. I think the TPT says that we've been co-crucified. And the TPT in this verse says that we have been co-buried with him. We've taken part of the burial. And being a believer, we have been raised by the Spirit of God. Can you say amen to that? This is the wind of the Spirit. Can I tell you that the wind is also the voice of God? God breathed into Adam his breath, the voice of God. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19 says this. Thy dead men, and you can put women on there too. Thy dead men shall what? Yeah. And folks, sometimes, this is what he's talking about. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Amen? Come on. Awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust, for your dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Can you say amen to that? I look at death a lot. Because what I see God is saying about death, it's an enemy. Can you say amen? How many know that death is an enemy? I look at it a lot. Because we have been so programmed by death, because it's all around us all the time. It walks with us. It walks all around us. We've been so programmed, we almost blot out what God is saying about death. And we got to quit doing that. Because the Bible says that we're asking, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to tell you, there ain't no death in heaven. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to remind you of John chapter 3, verse 8 says this. The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You can't tell where they're going to go. Can you say amen to that? Amen. See, as a pastor, I can't block you out. I can't say, well, you got to stay here. For the rest of your 100 life, you can, when you've been here 100 years, you can leave this church. Right, John? We can't do that. One of the first things that God told me when we started this thing, God said, you won't corral my people. He says, I will send them in and I'll send them out. Don't you worry about it. Okay. Let him have his way. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me show you one more thing about this. And then we'll go. I'm going to let you go. Can you say amen? Look at it. It's just a little bit after. Lunch is still cooking. You'll be able to get it. Let me just show you one more thing. Do you guys remember when Jesus was talking to Peter after the resurrection? He goes, Peter, do you love me? Peter goes, yeah, I love you. Yeah. Feed my sheep. Okay. Peter, do you love me? I love you, Lord. We'll feed my sheep. Well, yeah, okay. Then he asked him one more time, Peter, do you love me? He goes, Lord, you know I love you. You know. And he tells him, feed my sheep. John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19 says this. Jesus told him right after that, he says, verily, verily, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and you walked wherever you would. But when thou shalt be old, and that word old means mature. There's another word for it, Jewish word, mature. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird you and carry you where you would not. And then it says, this spoke he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And I thought, because I was taught as growing up in the things of God, I was taught that, well, Peter, and it doesn't say this in Scripture, so I tell everybody, hey, if it's not in the Scripture, man, you know what? Don't bring it. In my heart, I only bring what's in the scripture. And where it said Peter was crucified, and this is probably true. I mean, he was crucified upside down. Because he said, don't crucify me the way my Lord was. I'm not worthy of that. And I kind of thought, well, I have a hard time seeing the glory of that. And I always kind of questioned it. But while I was doing this, I heard the word wind. And it reminded me that I was looking at this because of the death factor. And I just want to show you. Can you go back to the first verse here? It says, "Verily, verily, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would not, and walked whither you was." Sorry, yeah, I got too much light. I got twin TVs I'm trying to read. Okay, verily I say to you that when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would, wherever you wanted to go. See, I'm going to tell folks, Jesus is talking about killing yourself. I mean, not suicide. He's talking about the self life. Verily I say to you that when you were young, you girded yourself and walked wherever you would. He says, but when you shall be old, you will stretch forth your hands. And I said, man, I don't see it at all like him going, okay, take me to your leader or whatever. I see him doing this, Lord, worshiping the Lord on top of a roof in Joppa. And now he's girded by something else. Do you know what girded is? Is you're clothed by something different. The Word of God tells us that we need to be clothed with the Spirit. That the Spirit of God is our clothing. Can you say amen? Amen. He said, you will be clothed. You will be girded. Thou shalt stretch forth your hand, and another shall gird you and carry you where you wouldest not. You didn't want to go. Peter said, I don't want to go to that Gentile's house. But he went, didn't he? Because the Spirit takes you where he wants you to go. And then it says this, this spoke he, signifying what death he should glorify God. You see, when Peter was baptized, he died unto Christ. He died from himself and became a follower of Christ. That's the death that which he glorifies God. Can I tell you, if you're always walking in your own desires and your own ways, I tell you what, glorifying God is not going to come easy to you. But if you deny the flesh, like Jesus says, pick up your cross, follow me, deny the flesh, you're going to find that he brings his whole realm in around you to support you, to take you, to build you, to profit you, to prosper you, because he loves you. Can you say amen to that? It's a different way of looking at it. And I know a lot of you say, nah. You died on a cross upside down, whatever. It's okay. I know. It's all right. But I will tell you, look at it. Can you say amen to that? Dig in there. Look around. Amen? Because we got to be people that dig in. Can you say amen? We got to use the Word of God. We got to take the Word of God and dig in so that God might speak to our hearts, so he might show you those things that are coming towards you. Will you stand? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Woo. Okay. It's 12:09. Is that okay? Amen. Got somebody in the back going like this to me. Yeah. No, nobody is. I want to thank you for coming this morning. I want to thank you that you are part of the body of Christ in the earth today. Can you say amen to that? I want to thank you that God's will in your life is perfect. And if you just yield your life to him, he will take you and he'll cause you to walk places you never thought you'd walk. He'll do things for you. He'll prosper you. Because in this kingdom, we are here to show the glory of God in the earth where people got no idea what it's about. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray for you real quick, and then we'll release you. Is that okay? Father, we thank you this morning. I ask you, Father, you touch every life that's here. Father, let your word richly be within them, Father God, so they might know that which you are saying to them, Father, to them personally, Father God. Let them see and know all the things that you have for them. Father, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Can you agree? Say amen. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. Hallelujah. Hug somebody.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.